Are you ready? No! I said, are you ready?
You are now tuned.
Are you ready for the Rick Diamond Show? You better be. You're about to step into the ring with Rick Diamond himself to talk all things football, basketball, MMA, and yes, even pro wrestling.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Here's Rick.
It's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7. That's right, we're back and we're better than ever. Here's my tag team partner, John Tabor. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, buddy? I'd almost forgotten what you look like. But thankfully, you're doing live Facebook videos now so I can keep up with you.
That's right. Well, when we're off the air, you got to do what you got to do to stay relevant.
That's right.
So, anyway, let's just tell everybody why we were off the air first. Louisiana Tech baseball, man. You're a huge fan of Louisiana
Tech. I am. I've you know, lifelong follower of the program, and they had some lean years last couple decades and had quite a season, made the conference tournament and the regionals. So it got us put off air temporarily, but as the song says, we are back and better than ever. So what you got lined up for us, Diamond?
Well, let's find out.
It's a new day. Yes, it is. And now, we give to you your feature presentation.
Oh, my God!
Yes, ma'am.
In rounds one and two, we'll be talking to former WWE superstar Chris Masters on the Paradigm Gym hotline. And in round two, we'll be talking to the owner of Paradigm Gym, Herb Vandenberg. He's going to come on with us and tell us all about his new summer camps in the Ruston area today. And in round four, it's all about you. The phone lines are open. And if you don't call us, you'll just listen to us talk about the WWE draft and brand split. But right now, it's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7. And we've got former WWE superstar Chris Masters on the Paradigm Gym Hotline.
Hey, good. What's going on?
Nothing much, buddy. How about you?
I'm just chilling over here in Los Angeles. Actually, and it's hot. Feels more like Florida out here, actually, with this humidity.
Well, we get a lot of that in Louisiana as well. But I want to ask you first about what you've been doing since you left the WWE. I know you were involved in the Indies. What are you doing career-wise right now?
You know, I've just been keeping busy. I mean, outside of WWE, there's a whole world of, like you say, the independent wrestling circuit. And, you know, a lot of that being here domestically and internationally. Some of it with Global Force Wrestling. Some of it with, like, Preston City Wrestling over in England. Some of it in the Middle East being, like, QPW. So, I mean, like, some hardcore fans know about all of these, or some of these promotions at least, but you know, the casual fan sometimes only follows WWE and doesn't know exactly anything about the outside world of wrestling outside of beyond WWE or outside of it.
Well, how is GFW doing? Because I saw that they were actually going to partner up with TNA. What went on with that?
Well, I don't know if there's any kind of breaking news on that of sort or anything. I haven't heard. All I know is we did partner up last year for about and shot about five TVs, I think, and, you know, did the whole Global Force Wrestling versus Impact angle. And, I mean, since then, I haven't necessarily heard anything, but, you know, I've been injured the last 5 months or so. You know, I had an ace. I actually tore my ACL in Mexico working in AAA, teaming up with Rey Mysterio. And so, you know, I've been kind of out of the scene, but, you know, still teaching wrestling in the meantime. So I just haven't heard anything as of late in terms of, you know, Impact and Global Force Wrestling.
Sure. Well, you were also working with TNA, I believe it was back in 2011 with Ring Ka-King. And correct me if I'm wrong, that was in India, right?
Yes, yes. Ring Ka-King, that was in India. And it was partnered by Impact and run by Jeff.
So how was it working over in India? And, well, I mean, you've worked internationally before that, I'm sure, but just how is it working in a different country as opposed to America? I know you just said you teamed up with Rey Mysterio in Mexico, so let us in on that.
It's always really wild, man. I mean, like, the most recent one I can think of, kind of like these odd bookings that we get in places that you wouldn't think, is it was just maybe a month ago, or a month and a half ago in Sudan. So in Sudan, which being in Africa. So, I mean, that was kind of a very, very interesting place, you know, very different, you know what I mean? And like for them having an American even in the country was a huge deal. So, you know, there was a lot of focus put on me initially because I was the first American that showed up out of, you know, a few others like Carlito and Rey Mysterio came on that one too. And, but, you know, and India too, like, I mean, they're nice places, but then, you know, when you get out of like the main city, it becomes, kind of almost like third world country. You know what I mean? It basically is in some cases, you know, whether it be India or even, like Nigeria, which I've been to, or Sudan. You know, I can definitely say the nicest, Middle Eastern country that I've seen is, Qatar. It's just immaculate. The buildings, the infrastructure, just everything about it is, and Dubai obviously is pretty amazing.
So I saw you actually just posted a picture to Instagram before the show about Chris Travis. I believe you two worked together over there. How was it working with him? And obviously his recent death has affected you in many ways.
You know, I've seen quite a few deaths in wrestling since I've gotten into it, and even before that when I was just a fan, and they all hit me differently, you know. This Travis one, though, definitely hit hard. I mean, he really gave me three of probably my three greatest matches over there in England, and really got me, you know, just through the matches I had with him, I was able to do so much more work out there in that region, whether it be Europe or the UK, and I've continued to work there since. And, you know, every time we wrestled, the crowd demanded one more match, so we wrestled inevitably. Eventually, we ended up doing three matches. And, you know, he was just so awesome, man. Such a great worker, and I just always believed in him, man. And it's hard, man. I just get emotional. I still can't come to grips with the fact that he's gone, really. It's just something I can't come to grips with. I still think about it at least once a day. And, you know, it's so sad, man. He was, to me, the best talent I had seen outside of the WWE on the whole scene, pretty much.
He was great. He was very well known within the IWC, the internet wrestling community, and his passing definitely affected a lot of the fans as well, but I can only imagine how it could have affected you as being as close to him as you were, you two being overseas together and all that. Someone else you were close with when you were in the WWE was Carlito, your tag team partner. Now, you guys are really close outside of the ring as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's my road dog. You know, we're usually on bookings a lot of the time together. I probably wrestled him about 1,000 times at this point. And we spend a lot of our time playing video games together, too, actually.
I want to talk to you about video games as well, because our boy Kobe is actually going to be on the next edition of the NBA franchise, NBA 2K franchise, NBA 2K17. What are your thoughts on that? Because I'm pretty excited about it.
Oh, all I got to say is thank God. I mean, is he going to be on the current Lakers team? Because that's the team I have to use for season mode. So, I mean, what team is he? I'm hoping he's on the current Laker roster because, you know, I got to try to win myself another ring.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I don't care how bad the Lakers are right now, I can still whoop some butt with them in the online area of the game, whatever it's called, versus. So somebody picks the Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors, I don't care. I'll pick my Lakers and beat you.
Well, me and you might have to go at it. Or maybe you can take on Carlito because he's always picking Golden State. He's such a bandwagon. So maybe you can take Carlito on and shut him up because usually he's got too much firepower for me, you know, using the Lakers against Golden State.
Yeah, we'll definitely I'll take on both of you. And we'll record it, and it'll be on the Rick Diamond YouTube. How about that?
It might be interesting.
It might be.
I'm definitely happy Kobe's on the game. It's just where would we be able to use him? It's like I need him on my damn Laker team.
Yeah, exactly.
Or hopefully, we might get somebody good in the offseason. I mean, who knows? You know, I'm hoping we get DeMarcus Cousins or, I don't know if Durant's coming here, but I definitely like Westbrook too. You know what I mean? He's up pretty awesome. So
yeah, Magic Johnson, of course, we both know him very well. Said that we should go after Durant, LeBron, and DeMar DeRozan. I think that's wishful thinking. He needs to pump the brakes there. But anyway, you wrestled John Cena quite a bit when you first came to the WWE or were involved in a storyline with John Cena. And you were actually the first person to be put in his STF finishing move that he uses often now. How was it working with John Cena? I've heard that you two may not be on the best of terms. Is that just a rumor or is that true?
No, it's not that we're not on the best of terms. We started training for wrestling the same day. So, like, you know, there's a connection there. I mean, literally, I was like 16 and he was like 21 or maybe 20 at the time. I don't know how much older he is than me. But I remember I got injured and I came back a couple of years later. And by that point, he was already started in WWE. So I was just like a couple of years behind him. But we just had to come two different very different personalities. It's not like any kind of personal animosity or heat. But I do remember the first time he ever applied that thing on me. If you do have the video, you're able to find it. I mean, if you see my face, I'm literally turning purple on that. I mean, you know, he got excited and you can see it on there. There's actually, I think there is a photo I saw of it one time that I was just cracking up. I was like, oh my God.
Well, you must have sold it pretty well, enough for him to like it to keep using it for a lot of years after that, because he uses it in every match he's in now. So, you know, you sold it pretty well.
Yeah, I was the first one, I guess, wasn't I?
Yeah, that's what the internet told me, Chris. So I don't know. You can't always trust the internet, but that's what it said. So I'm going to go with that.
I think it's true.
So Cena did give you a compliment, though. He said that you were the strongest guy he's ever faced inside the ring. And you proved that. And this is how the rumor goes. You pulled a 10-foot tree from the ground with your bare hands. Is that true? Did you really do that?
The situation was my mom was barricaded in the house by some crazy lunatic. And what it ultimately came down to is he set the house on fire and there was a tree blocking the windows of the room that my mom was in. So essentially I bear hugged the tree and I threw myself to the floor bringing the whole tree out of the ground. So, and then they were able to break open the windows and she finally popped up when they broke open the second window, and then I just kind of scooped her up out of there and pulled her to safety. But it was pretty crazy, the media storm after, you know what I mean? I wasn't expecting that, but it was obviously probably the craziest day of my life, just going through that, and then with the possibility that your mom could die and in that fashion on top of it, it was just like I wasn't going to let that happen. So, just something, how they say beast mode. I mean, beast mode's a real thing. You know, sometimes adrenaline kicks in and you just kind of, you just instincts take over. And, it wasn't as much about me pulling out the tree as much as me taking charge of the situation. Because there was about 10 police officers around the house and they were trying to get the door down. And that's when we started the fire. But you know, I just knew that if I left it up to just up to them, that my mom could possibly die of smoke inhalation. So I was like, I ain't going to let that happen. Nope.
So you are the masterpiece for a reason. You're pretty shredded for those who haven't seen you. What's your diet like? What do you eat to get like you?
The diet I always recommend that I've found to like most out of all that I've tried is the low carb kind of it's high fat, high protein diet. So it's basically, you know, no sugars, no potatoes, no rice, and, you know, red meat, whole eggs, coconut oil, and, you know, as much good fats as you can. But I mean, that's typically what I eat when I'm especially in my like regular shape mode. Throughout my knee rehab, though, I've just been kind of eating a traditional, you know, moderate protein and carbohydrate diet. But ketosis is, I mean, anybody out there, just Google ketosis, and it basically summarizes how the diet works and how you get your body to run off of fat instead of carbs, and therefore make your body a more efficient fat burner. And, you know, the only way you can do that is by putting down the bread and pasta and the juices and all that stuff. But, you know, you don't do that for 7 days straight either. You know, you got to break the diet every 3rd or 4th or 5th day.
Yeah, take out all my favorite things and then I could look like you.
Well, I mean, the good thing is, I mean, you know, I don't want to bore everybody, but I mean, carbohydrates work in your brain like a drug. So it makes you feel hungrier than you are. So when you do this diet, it's like it completely changes the way your body functions, and you never really get starving, and you don't get the insulin spikes and all that. And I don't want to get too technical and into too much diet stuff. I think people will get bored with it, but, you know, I've just found that, I run very efficient on that diet.
Sure. So do you still rewatch your WrestleMania match from time to time and think, wow, that really happened? I was on the card at WrestleMania.
No, honestly, I actually don't. I mean, I try to avoid it at all costs. I don't know why. You know, it's not, I'm not ashamed of it by any means. I'm proud of it and all that. But I just, you know, I only look back at my stuff when I'm either forced to, or there's like sometimes a specific reason. Like, you know, I was teaching a seminar or a clinic in France a couple weeks ago, and I was, you know, I was working with these young students, and there was some stuff that they needed to work on. And so I, you know, naturally there was a match I thought of that I had had with Drew McIntyre back when he was with WWE. That they could kind of watch and refer to and could help them out a little bit. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, in that situation, I'll watch myself. But, I mean, I still have the memories and I still think back to myself. Just because I don't watch it on tape doesn't mean I don't think to myself like, oh, wow, you know, I've been on the biggest card there is. And, you know, I've basically worked everywhere from the top to the bottom. You know what I mean? I've seen it all in pro wrestling now at this point over 13 years. And, you know, it's fun. I love it. You know what I mean? I wouldn't, you know, I can't really say I have any regrets about going into this line of work. Like, yeah, I've made some mistakes, but, you know, it's definitely, it's a blast to be able to do this, especially, you know, once you get to the point where you really understand the art of it and what we do, the art and what we do. And, you know, that's something that really caught on, at least in my head, over the last few years.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you left WWE shortly after that match and then came back around 2009, I want to say. They say that Randy Orton actually helped you out to get back in the company. He recommended that they rehire you to Vince McMahon. Is that true? And are you and Randy really close?
Well, I traveled with him for a while on the road, so I mean, yeah, we're friends, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't talked to him in a while, like, but then again, I'm not the best in keeping in touch, and neither is most wrestlers. It's kind of I'll see you when I see you business.
Sure.
Or as I always tell guys, till next time. But you know, I think it was a combination of things. I think Randy was part of it, but also I just showed up and I got my act together, because you know, the reason they released me prior to that was I had you know, what's actually much more common now in the country, and that's an opioid addiction, you know, prescription pill problem. So, I mean, you know, I had to go through that, and that was a tough battle for me. And, you know, I finally showed up there, and, you know, I had my my moment of clarity in between when I got fired and when I got rehired. And then when the time was right, I showed my face again. And, you know, the combination of that, Randy, and, you know, all the circumstances, all the stars aligned, and they're like, all right, let's bring him back. And with a raise.
Well, it was kind of like you were never gone, though, because when you came back, you just kind of came out and then wrestled like you didn't ever miss a beat. You know, the commentators never really said that you were coming back. It was just kind of like, hey, it's Chris Masters again, and we saw him last week. You know what I mean? It wasn't like you were gone for years. Why is that?
Well, I don't know. You know, like, it was kind of an odd way to bring somebody back, but I think at the same time, they're like, well, you know, before I had left the first time, you know, gotten released, I wasn't in anything, any pivotal angle or anything like that. So it was just like, there was no kind of like nothing to kind of jumpstart me into that. You know what I mean? I guess they just figured, you know, let's throw them out there and see, you know, what happens, see how the crowd reacts or whatever. Cause, you know, I don't know if we can, you know, they had already through my first one put them through 6 weeks of vignettes. So I don't think they were too keen on running a bunch of vignettes just to bring me back.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, but I mean, sure, maybe they could have done something more, yes, to acknowledge it. But at the same time, I just kind of understand maybe just, hey, let's just throw them out there and, you know, not make a big deal about it and see just how the crowd responds and how he does.
Talk about wrestling a guy that you grew up watching, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and also actually, you and Carlito defeated the team of Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels. How was that?
I think that was the Tornado match, which was the last match on the last Raw they had on Spike TV, and I just remember very vividly Carlito and myself. I mean, the match was so chaotic in comparison to anything I've ever been in that Carlito and myself were just looking at each other at the end of the match, and we were like scared to go back to the gorilla position because we were just like, what the hell just happened out here? There's no way that could have been any good.
Yeah.
And, you know, to our surprise, we came back and they were all clapping like it was a good send-off, and we're like, oh, okay, you know. But I mean, again, if anybody ever sees that video, if you look at Carly's face in like the last couple of minutes as where he's trailing back to the locker room, that's funny. You know, you could tell he's like, what the hell just happened? WTF.
Yeah, well, and of course you won by tapping out an Olympic gold medalist, Kurt Angle, to your Master Lock. And did anybody ever break the Master Lock? Did anybody win the Master Lock challenge? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, Bobby Lashley is the only documented person to ever break the Master Lock. So, yep. Yeah, that happened. And that, you know, funny enough, that was when he was going into his angle with Donald Trump at WrestleMania.
How was it being backstage with Donald Trump? Did you have any interaction with him since you mentioned him?
No, I didn't really. It just, it didn't matter to me really. You know what I mean? Like he was there, but I didn't necessarily go out of my way. You know what I mean? I just really didn't care. You know what I mean? Like a lot. I remember for that a big period of time on Raw, we were having guest hosts every week and stuff, and you know. Like some of them, you know, you were kind of excited for, and then some were just, you know, it's like, I don't know. Would you get excited for anybody, right?
Sure, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Timothy Sillery, we got some fan questions for you coming from Facebook here. He wants to know, I'm sure you've seen a lot of superstars got released yesterday from the WWE. He wants to know what your advice is to those guys since you were in the same position back in 2011.
Oh, wow. Well, I didn't know a bunch of guys were released. I don't know. Do you know who they were?
Yeah, just off the top of my head, it was Cameron. Hornswoggle actually got released. Damian Sandow, Santino, Wade Barrett, And let's see, there was another. Oh, and Alex Riley. Yep.
Well, I think a lot of those guys, I don't think all those guys are going to be surprised about the news. I think some of them actually wanted it out. And I think, for any of them that if they want to come out and they still want to continue to do professional wrestling, you know, you just have to be able to, you know, make yourself available and do interviews like we're doing right here, right now. And, you know, and network yourself, obviously. And, you know, there's still a whole other world out there of wrestling. And then, of course, there's also, you know, Global Force. There's Lucha Underground. There's Impact, you know. So it's not like WWE is the only place. Like, you know, they'll be okay whether it's through wrestling or do something else. You know what I mean? Like, I know that Wade Barrett, I'm assuming he already was ready to leave. So, you know, I don't think that's devastating news to him by any means.
No, yeah, I've heard that he actually wants to go into acting. He was going to not re-sign when his contract ended in June, and they granted him an early release. So, yeah, definitely he was expecting to go, and he's happy to be out of his contract for sure. So John wants to know, would you or do you think you will ever go back to WWE?
I one thing I've learned in wrestling through my many lessons is never say never. But, you know, it's not, I don't think it's something that either side is kind of looking to do, you know what I mean? Like, but if anything, you know, you never know. I mean, I can't say that if they didn't ring me to work NXT or something like that, like they've done with some of these other guys over the past few months. And I was able to work with some of the good talent that I actually already know that's on that roster, being like Apollo Crews and, you know, Finn Balor and, you know, those guys, you know, there's some awesome talent to work. So, I mean, that part is intriguing. But, you know, I mean, like at the same time, I do enjoy the life that I've forged outside of WWE in terms of just working and being my own boss. And again, that is only because of WWE. So I'm also, you know, grateful to them. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't see it happening, but like I said, never say never.
Well, and you're very young also for someone who's been in the business as long as you have. I mean, you have so much experience and you're only 33 years old. Is that right?
Yeah, 33. Yeah, I've got, I guess, about 13 years of experience under my belt. I mean, I just started getting the, you know, the adults that would come up to me and they're like, hey, I watched you when I was a kid. And, you know, like I've had to get used to, you know, basically used to being the veteran now. And then even in the locker rooms, a lot of these guys are, you know, in their early 20s now. And so they were even 10 years old when I debuted. So that part's kind of odd. You know, it's kind of odd. It's like it's crazy how fast I went from being the 19-year-old rookie in OVW, you know, going into WWE to the 33-year-old veteran, you know, now, you know, well-experienced and, you know,
yeah,
and teaching clinics. And, you know, it's just like, wow, I can't believe that all happened so fast.
Nick wants to know if you have any good locker room stories to share. There's probably too many to pick. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get overwhelmed by just the idea of how many freaking locker room stories there are. Most of them are very kind of personal or you know,
NC-17?
Yeah. Or, but I'm trying to think if there was like an innocent rib that, I mean, one of the more innocent ribs, it's not that funny, but it's always was kind of funny to me is the fact that, like, every time I'd be on a show with Nick Dinsmore, Eugene, specifically on the indies, I think after we were both out on the indie scene, he would always steal my boot, one of my boots. And like, you know, on these indies, it's not like I see him every day. So like some shows I would forget that Nick was even there, and he would always have me in a panic. Like on every show, I'd always be like, oh my God, I forgot to bring my other boot. And like, I'd always get worked up. And then actually there's a lot of good rib stories with Nick. There's another one that I'd like to tell that's, but it's far more graphic, and I probably shouldn't. I should probably refrain from it. But it was a really good prank he did with all of our phones as far as replacing our screen covers with a part of his anatomy that should stay in his underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was too much. Too much.
JT asked, what was it like having Eve Torres as your manager, and do you like having managers by your side in general?
Honestly, it was kind of like nothing against Eve. It was just kind of awkward because I had never had it before. And then to be a baby face with a female manager, too, is also not like the most ideal of circumstances. It's like, you know, I think Carlito put this into perspective with me. It's like once you're a guy and you've been put with a woman and you're a baby face, it's kind of like the kiss of death. You know what I mean? It's just that situation just never works out really well for some reason. And, you know, but like, you know, for Eve, it worked out good. You know, she was able to transition out and, you know, win the woman's title and all that stuff. And like, for me, when I went on my own, eventually around 2010 and 2011, I mean, 80% of my matches were on superstars, but they were probably like, they were the best matches of my career just because I had finally kind of come into my own. You know what I mean? I was thrust upon the scene so quickly. And, you know, it's hard because in this business, it takes time to develop, you know what I mean? And that's why it's kind of good to see them picking out some of the talent that they have recently, you know what I mean? Like Kevin Steen and these guys and whatnot. Cause I mean, these guys have all had the chance to work all around the world in our season and kind of have a good grasp of who they are, you know, instead of starting like, you know, the way I did, I started out in WWE. And it's kind of sink or swim, you know, and you don't have all that experience under your belt. So it's like, you know, it's just a better approach, at least like the way they're going about that now. And, you know, because, I mean, it took me like I said, I mean, my best matches were in my last couple of years, but that was just kind of natural progression, right? You know, sure. Development.
Yeah, and Jackson says Cornette, a.k.a. Jim Cornette, has been targeting indie darlings lately on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen it or not. He called Kenny Omega a bad wrestler. He said Ricochet was a wannabe flippy-do wrestler. What do you think about all that? Jackson wants to know.
I love JC, man. He's a freaking character. And, you know, I think JC is just... he's old school, man. You know what I mean? Like, you have this in, I mean, you're with ESPN, right? Like, I mean, you have this in every sport, you know, like right. Oscar Robertson criticizing Steph Curry. You know what I mean? Yeah. I kind of see it as no different than that. I think JC's got a great wrestling mind. I just think a lot of times that he hasn't, you know, move forward along with the business a little bit more, you know what I mean? Like, or evolved with the business.
Well, and I'm sure there's, I think I'm sure there's a kayfabe aspect to that as well. And Cornette doesn't actually mean everything he's saying on Twitter.
No, he's, you know, I mean, if anything, even if JC meant it, it was just probably because he's only seen clips of those guys like Ricochet or whatever doing a fancy move. But, you know, I know what JC's overall point is, you know, we're not stuntmen. That's not what we're doing. You know what I mean? This isn't like, you know, just crash and burn. We're, you know, storytelling and working. So it's like you're doing that within that kind of stuff, but within the context of, you know, the story of the match that you've laid out, you know? So, I mean, he's just trying to, you know, make sure guys keep it real and don't just go out there and do a bunch of stuff.
Well, thanks for coming on, Chris. It's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio. Tell everybody where they can find you, and I believe, actually, you're taking bookings right now. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can reach out to masterpiece83@gmail.com for wrestling shows, seminars, clinics, appearances, et cetera. And then on Twitter and Instagram, it's at chrismasters310. And Facebook, Real Chris Masters. I think that's pretty much everything.
Nice, Chris. Well, it was great having you. Thanks a lot for coming on. It's the Rick Diamond Show, ESPN Radio 97.7. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Tommy Dreamer, former ECW Heavyweight Champion. the Innovator of Ireland, the ECW Original, and a whole lot of other titles. And you're listening to my friend, The Rick Diamond Show, taking you to the extreme.
It's The Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio, 97.7. We've got Herb Vandenberg from Paradigm Gym on the Paradigm Gym Hotline. How you doing, Herb?
Pretty good. How are you, man?
Doing great. Doing absolutely great. Now, tell us all about Paradigm Gym and what's it about.
Well, it's a gym. It's a gymnastics gym. That's our basics for what we teach there. But we also do after-school care. We also do, like right now, we're doing summer camps. This upcoming week is our archery week. We're going to go out and teach the kids how to shoot bows and teach safely, teach how to be safe with it and track deer. And, you know, have all the fun stuff you always wanted to learn, and we have a camp for it. We also do gymnastics stuff. I actually teach not just tumbling, but the bars, the beam, the vault, all that kind of stuff.
What ages do you go to? What age is ideal to be a member of Paradigm Gym?
We go from ages 9 months to, at the moment, about 14 years right at the beginning of high school. They get a little too big for my equipment. But coming September, I'm building a gigantic gym next door, which will be from 9 months till you're 60 and cannot jump around anymore.
And I hear you're trying to get a cheerleading program started as well. How's that going?
Yeah, I'm also trying to start the tumbling and all that for the tutors to actually teach them correctly how to do their back handsprings, their back tucks, all the fun stuff that you always see them doing. And it's coming. It's a work in progress.
Yeah. So that's about the gym, but you also have summer camps, as you mentioned. What about the summer camps? How do you sign up? How long do they run and stuff like that?
The way you sign up is either you go onto our website, paradigmgym.net, and or you can come into our gym. I'm there every day during the summer from 7 in the morning until 5:30 at night. And you can sit and talk to me, and I'll explain to you what the camps are about. And they start at $150 per week. We provide lunch. But you can also do it per day. If you want to just do one day, for example, you have kids locked up indoors all day and you need them to get out, we can do just the one day. And also, if you sign up for the month, I actually drop the price to $120.
Well, Herb, a lot of people are listening right now and they're thinking, hey, maybe my son would like to do this, but gymnastics, tumbling, cheerleading, all that's for girls. What do you say to them?
Somebody said that is, have you seen Ninja Warrior?
Yeah.
have you seen the parkour stuff that it is? That's when I consider the boys, that's what I teach. It is not the frou-frou and the all the pretty stuff. No, I'm thinking, when I teach boys, I'm thinking, okay, we can go out there, we can jump everything, bounce off the walls, literally. And I'm actually, eventually, in my big gym, I'm actually going to have a warp wall and actually Ninja Warrior course. So that's something I'm looking forward to.
Well, great response, Herb. As you know, I was a cheerleader and a cheerleading coach, and you are a gymnastics guy yourself, and we actually worked together for a brief period at another gymnastics gym. But, so yeah, definitely not for just girls. Is there anything else you want to mention?
Other than, if you guys have any questions, come up to the gym. I am there. I will talk to you. I will explain to you everything. If you want a kid that wants to go earn some gold medals, that's eventually the goal of gymnastics. If you want a kid that just wants to get out there and exercise and shape up, I do that too. So it's not just a sport where you can go in and oh my God, I have to go compete. No, it's an all-encompassing thing. It's just like my mother said, it is fit for life.
Fit for life. There you go. Well, thanks for coming on today, Herb.
No problem, Rick.
Have a great day.
You too.
So the phone lines are now open, the Paradigm Gym Hotline. You can reach us at 888-993-7762. While we wait on a call, Tabor, what are you thinking about this WWE draft? I'm thinking it's going to be great. Been waiting on it for years. I love the brand split. Love it all. It's what I've been waiting for.
Like I said, it's kind of been a foregone conclusion. I'm just going to roll with it. I'll be interested to see, do they actually do a draft show, or do they just kind of slowly matriculate the two rosters to one show or the other through, you know, in the upcoming weeks? That'll be interesting to see. I think we might have another shocking long-term return that may be involved with this, as far as whether it's on management side or, you know, one of the workers. Who knows? I just think that WWE still got something up their sleeve to go with this, and it'll be interesting to find out.
The rumor right now, and there is going to be a draft. That's not a rumor. That was on WWE.com.
So they are
going
to do an actual draft.
We don't know if there's going to be a draft show, but there will be a draft done. The rumor right now is that there will be a draft show for Raw and a draft show for SmackDown, and I'd love to see it. Like I said, my favorite night of the year, except for WrestleMania.
I'm curious to know if they're going to do the SmackDown draft live, or if they'll produce that and then go live going forward.
It depends, because they're going to be live July 19th. And I don't think they would want to produce or pre-tape the draft because of the spoiler aspect of it. Everybody's going to know, hey, this guy went to SmackDown, especially if it's a big name like John Cena. Oh, huge name goes to SmackDown. All over Facebook, and you're going to know it's going to be spoiled for you. And that's why I hope they do it live. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. It's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7. Phone lines are open. It's the Paradigm Gym Hotline.
Hey everyone, this is Angelina Love, former six-time TNA Knockout Champion, and you are listening to the Rick Diamond Show.
It's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7, and we do have a caller on the Paradigm Gym Hotline. It's Adam. How you doing, Adam?
Hey.
So, what you calling about today, buddy?
Nothing much. Trying to get my name out there. Andy Perez from T-Shirt King of Virginia.
Say that one more time.
Andy Perez from T-Shirt King of Virginia.
And what does that mean exactly?
The king. You said the King of Virginia?
Yeah. I wear nothing but Perez and T-Shirts for 12 years straight.
Okay, and where can we find these T-Shirts? Do we got a website or an ordering address we could get to? I mean, we got to see the merch.
No. I think you mean you've been wearing professional wrestling T-Shirts.
Oh,
12 years straight. That's a good accomplishment there. You're the pro wrestling T-shirt King of Virginia.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I've got two or three at the house, but you know, what T-shirts are we talking about? Are we talking old school, Attitude Era, Golden Era?
Maybe just all of them.
All of them? What's your favorite?
My favorite wrestler?
Well, your favorite T-shirt to wear?
Probably my Undertaker one.
Well, see, I know you've got more than one Undertaker shirt, so we got to get specific here.
So, let's see. NXT one, I got the AJ Styles one. I'm phenomenal.
That's a valuable one right there.
AJ's NXT shirt?
Yeah, I got Austin Eddie's NXT one.
That AJ Styles shirt sold out in 2 hours after his Royal Rumble debut. I love it, Adam. I'm glad you got one.
Then around maybe 450 and counting.
So you want to get your name out there. I see that. What do you do exactly? Why do you want to get your name out there? What's your thing? Why do you want wrestlers to know about you and people out there to know that you are the wrestling T-shirt King of Virginia?
Well, I just want to help my legacy out.
Well, it's a great place to do it right here on the Rick Diamond Show. We got a great legacy, don't we, Tabor?
We do, and Adam, we appreciate your call, and we hope to get your legacy kick-started because it is a new day.
That's right. It's a new day. Yes, it is. So thanks for the call, Adam. Anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you for helping me.
Well, you're very welcome, buddy. Keep listening to the Rick Diamond Show. This is where every pro wrestling fan needs to be. So, Tabor, how about that?
I just straight up, I got to address the elephant in the room here. Please, for my birthday, or no, you know, that's just passed, for Christmas, hook me up with a double X AJ Styles NXT shirt.
That's right, me too. You can send them to the station, 500 North Monroe Street, Ruston, Louisiana, 71270. I want me an AJ Styles t-shirt.
No, not just any AJ Styles t-shirt, an AJ Styles NXT t-shirt.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll let you order it just so I don't get screwed up.
Well,
it's screwed up.
I'm going to have to find it first.
Yeah, that's right. Well, anyway.
Back to the brand split.
Back to the brand split. That's right. Well, let's just stay on AJ Styles. Where's he going? I'm thinking now, obviously, the Bullet Club's going with him. I didn't think so before.
I thought that they would get around to it, and I think I'd mentioned to you in the past that I had a feeling that they'd turn AJ down the road, and they did it, and I like it. Just, man, for the love of God, dude, go to the barber and do something with that soccer mom hairdo.
Wow.
Because it flies, it works great as a face when you're smiling for the kids and the kids' mamas, and, mm-hmm. you know, that's great. But if you want that, it's just not hard-edged, not mean enough.
Yeah.
Unless he wants to go the punk coward, you know, kind of whiny boy.
I think he does.
An a la, you know, kind of a la Flair slash Rollins sort of, you know, the sneaky sniveling heel, not the big, you know, badass going to kick your butt and destroy everything. So if he stays kind of, you know, let Anderson and Gallows be the muscle, and he's the sniveling punk that starts all the trash and then runs behind his buddies, then maybe you can work the soccer mom hair with that.
I feel like that's where he's going with it. I feel like he's going to be the whiny type heel that lets the Bullet Club do the work for, or, well, Gallows and Anderson
I think what you will see is he really opened up his promo skills, and you'll get more of his personality. And just sometimes it tends, you know, some of the face promos are almost too scripted, and they give some of the heels a little more creative control. Maybe not with the storyline, but actually delivering of the message. So I'm looking forward to it. I really believe he and Cena will have a dynamite match.
I do too. I've been waiting for this match, and I know I've said that already about the draft, but I'm not kidding. I've been waiting for this match for years.
Let's be honest, man. That face off, you know, before the heel turn, the original he comes down, there was probably, what would you say, Rick, 60 to 90 seconds of them just both standing in the ring and the crowd going nuts.
Pure energy. Yeah.
And that wasn't, that's not Kevin Dunn pumping in audience noise. That was legit. Holy cow, we've been waiting, not as WWE fans, as wrestling, pro wrestling fans, we've been waiting 10 years plus to see this matchup, and now we've got it. Let's see where it goes.
And it's hard to believe that Money in the Bank is this good right ahead of SummerSlam. It makes you wonder, what do they have in store for SummerSlam? Because you've got Rollins and Roman Reigns.
I think this may be just the first chapter of that. I do believe they're going to run with that throughout probably the entirety of the summer.
I think so,
and
too.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and we'll get our full Money in the Bank predictions later on, but I feel like since this is going down now with AJ Styles and Cena, they're going to be split up, so that's why they want to get out
of the way. So are you expecting that to be kind of the main event level program on SmackDown? Are you thinking that's where they're going with
that? No, I think they're going to be split up, meaning AJ might be on Raw, Cena on SmackDown. That's why they're getting out of the way now.
It'll be a one-off?
Right, exactly. Just a one-off dream match that we've been waiting years to see. The face of TNA, the face of WWE.
All right, question. Do we get another belt?
Yes, we do.
Do they bring back the big gold belt?
Yes, because what
else
are you going to bring
back? It's the big
back?
Gold belt.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you on that. I do believe that should be the choice.
One thing, though, I'm just thinking about this right now. They may not bring that belt back. They may go with the Winged Eagle belt because they took all those retro pictures with it on Facebook for a photo shoot. Sasha had the old school women's championship. Reigns had the old school WWE championship, the Winged Eagle. And they had all these old school belts, and everybody was loving it.
here's another possibility. You really want to go old school with the 10 pounds of gold. The old NWA belt that, I guess, Flair won from Harley Race. Do you know? I mean, yeah. I can you envision which belt right. I'm talking yeah. about. Maybe bring back a refurbished, refabricated version of that.
Maybe.
It's a little simpler and smaller, but if you really pump in the history behind it and the storyline behind it, it's, you know, it's just an idea. I tend to probably lean towards your idea with the spread eagle, with the wing, the eagle belt. It'll be, but just the fact that so you, two headlining championships, one for each brand,
one for Rollins and one for Reigns on different brands. Yeah.
Oh, so you think they're going to split up Rollins and Reigns?
I do. I think you get a double count out at a new championship at Money in the Bank.
And then they flip Rollins' face or flip Reigns? Or do we get a double turn?
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, because they'll be on separate brands.
See, the intrigue is why I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you have guys that could, kind of to that point, have been running face for 2 years that now with the brand split, new matchups, new storylines, we may get some face/heel turns from people that you didn't necessarily expect it from. A la AJ and Cena, you know, who I had a sneaking suspicion it was coming, but it was cool to see it play out, and they did it well, and there were a lot of people like, whoa, that just happened.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Goldberg, too. Goldberg, of course, going to be the pre-order bonus for WWE 2K17 coming out this October. You're not too excited about that, are you? With the WWE games, you don't really care.
I'm not a huge gamer. I mean, I think the last one I bought was 13, and it was 13 or 14, and it was okay. But it's just whatever. But well, to those who are, you know, interested in, I get it. And from my understanding, the product 16 saying now coming out 17 is a very good game, well put together, very intricate. So, hey, Goldberg, it's a nice addition.
Well. The intrigue is not with the game, Tabor. The intrigue is with that trailer.
No. Yeah, I know. And
you know where we're going?
I know exactly where you're going.
With the Suplex City? Goldberg driving a Suplex City? That's what that was. And there's no way you can make that.
You want this match, don't you?
I do. I want it. I've seen the other one. I know it was terrible, but they were both getting ready to leave. But here's my thing. You can't. That doesn't show up accidentally in a video.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. And some people might think it is, oh, they just had a sign in the studio or whatever. No, that does not happen.
So are you thinking SummerSlam?
I'm thinking it could be SummerSlam.
Brock has already announced that he will return to WWE at SummerSlam.
Versus Goldberg is what I'm thinking. And obviously they have a lot with WWE 2K, the new games at SummerSlam, doing the roster reveal, stuff like that.
So do we get Bill for some buildup before that?
Probably not.
Maybe not even one Raw appearance.
I don't need it. I want the pop to be there for the SummerSlam match, first time we've seen him in years.
It's almost Brock. This is just hypothetical. Brock's coming back against the mystery opponent.
Or you could just say Goldberg is returning at SummerSlam to get.
I'd kind of like a little foreshadowing.
You could, yeah. You could get that. It could go either way.
Brock doesn't need Goldberg to draw. Brock draws because he's Brock.
That's right. And
so you already got the draw in. Now that you've drawn him in, then you pop him with Goldberg.
There you go. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll go ahead and get out of here. It's time for us to go. It's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7. Tune in next Saturday. 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern. You can catch us on iTunes, Android, everywhere under the sun where podcasts are located. And remember, you might not always be able to shine as bright as Rick Diamond, but hey, keep trying anyway. Woo!
Thanks for listening to The Rick Diamond Show. Tune in live every Saturday on ESPN977.com. Or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at RedPeachSports.com.